Live from the 607, it's the Ocho Duro Parlay Hour, where we're talking everything going on in the world of sports. Join in the conversation on social media with the hashtag ODPH, because here we go. Welcome to an all-new edition of the ODPH Podcast. What is happening, everybody? Thank you so much for joining us this week. My name is Ken M. Joining me in studio, as always, you know him. He's the co-host. His name is Padawan J.
Let me talk to you.
Yeah, and boy, do we have a lot to talk about in the land of sports.
Oh, yeah, we do.
We have a loaded show this week, so we definitely want to get the ball rolling. But after the show, we want to keep those conversations going. So, Pat, where does everybody go?
ODPHpodcast.com.
Right on. Head over to the website, sign up, follow, subscribe, do what you got to on all the social media accounts. Everything's updated. Shout out to all our new listeners on Threads, too.
Hey.
Threads is taking off right now. So if you're on Threads and you're not following us, make sure we fix that very, very shortly. And obviously on Facebook, Twitter/X, Instagram, TikTok, you name it, we're there. Also, check out the Tee Public store after you sign up and interact with us on our social media accounts. There's always a great time to go get some ODPH swag. And then check out the Patreon link. Shout out to all our amazing patrons. One tier, $2 a month, and bonus content. Boom, right at their fingertips. Also, check out the blog section where we're dropping reviews left and right. The classified section, which has friends of the show, such as 3 Fun Podcast, Dragon Master Games, Nerd Initiative, and many more. The directory. Pat, how many providers are we on?
724,000. And five.
Ooh, that is a unique number, but that is why Pat finds these, because he is a statistician to the stars. So if we're not on your favorite podcast player, however you're listening to us, make sure you drop that subscribe. Let us know where you're listening. We always like to throw up those players on the page too, so if you don't have to go, you know, download your phones, whatever, you can just listen on your desktop, laptops, whatever. Boom, it's right there. So you can listen to all the ODPH content. Last but certainly not least, we have a great music section, which has such musicians as Brian Wolf and the Howlers, who made a little big announcement this week.
Yeah, they did.
Pat, you want to talk about it a little bit?
Yeah, so Brian Wolf and the Howlers, as you like to say, will be playing at the Speedy Fest here locally in Binghamton this upcoming August.
Yeah, that's a big move for Brian and the guys, so yeah. Super excited to see him come back home. Maybe, just maybe, he'll run through the show again.
Maybe.
We'll have to insult the Green Bay Packers, and that usually gets him fired up, and he wants to come down. I kid, Packers Nation, I kid. But it does. It definitely works to get Brian in the studio. That is a proven. That's a very, very proven fact. So definitely go listen to what Brian has coming. I think new music is on the way as well too. Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, Tom Jolu, Second Suitor, Floodlands, shout out the robots, all the amazing musicians you hear each and every week on the ODPH Podcast Network is right there. So make sure you go download and support them as well. And if it's anything and everything that I might have forgotten, and is the ODPH, you can find it at ODPHpodcast.com and on social media. Remember, use the hashtag ODPHpod. Kicking off the sports edition, we're talking NFL.
Yeah, we are.
And, Pad, what specifically are we talking about involving the National Football League?
We are talking about the NFL draft, the annual, well, draft of college players making their way from the collegiate level to the NFL level and figuring out where the hell everyone's going to go and play this season.
Yes, this is the time of year that really puts the exclamation point on the offseason. It is where teams make or break their futures for quite some time.
Uh-huh.
And we're talking a bad pick can put your franchise back a couple seasons.
Jamarcus Russell, we're looking at you.
Mm-hmm. So it's either boom or bust. There's a lot of question marks going into this draft.
Hello, Sam Bradford.
Yes. So Pat and I will be breaking down the top 10 picks and then give our picks as well for our teams later in the rounds, because obviously the top 10 is what everybody's really focused on.
Yep.
That's the one that's really make the biggest amount of noise. So this year, Pad, it starts off with a team that's been here before, it feels like.
Yeah.
And who would that be?
That would be the Chicago Bears by way of the Carolina Panthers. So, of course, this was the pick the Chicago Bears picked up in sending DJ Moore to Carolina. Little did Carolina know it would end up being the number one draft pick because they would have an awful year last year. Whoops. So nonetheless, Chicago's in with the number one overall pick in the draft this year. Of course, one of the major needs they need, other than the kitchen sink, because they need a lot, is a quarterback, because Justin Fields, gone. Out east a little bit, down I-80, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
In Pittsburgh, there with Russell Wilson. You know, so obviously Chicago needs a pick. So one would think they're taking a quarterback in the first round of the draft this year. But nah, you never know. Never say never. The Bears say tune in because they know who they'll pick at number one. But for the rest of us, all we can do is guess. And I'm guessing Caleb Williams, quarterback from USC.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. Chicago made a lot of noise this offseason, especially moving Justin Fields to Pittsburgh.
Yep.
And one would say a puzzling move, but when I heard about how the Bears went about this, I can't be mad about it.
Right.
Because Fields wanted to go somewhere that he could really learn and develop his skills, a more stable organization, if you will.
Right. And I think at this point, the ceiling had been reached for what his potential could be in Chicago. That's not a shot at anybody in the building at Chicago who plays there, but just, you know, Fields has been there a couple of years now. He's shown some flashes, but it's not really setting in like, okay, he's got it figured out. He's the guy, you know, this is going to be his moment in the next couple of years. It's kind of just been like, you know, plateauing if you're looking at a line graph.
So it will be interesting to see about how Fields does. Obviously, Pittsburgh has a bunch of question marks concerning the quarterback position.
Currently, this is according to ESPN.com, they've got two quarterbacks on their depth chart, Tyson Bagnett and Brett Rypien.
You're right. Well, that's the Bears, because I would say with the Steelers.
Oh, Steelers.
Yeah, Steelers with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, it's going to be a question mark. But as you brought up with the Bears, yeah, there's not exactly, shall we say, a lot of sizzle on the steak.
Not usually, unless you're really selling yourself something that the rest of us ain't buying.
Yeah. But the Bears did make some additions in the offseason. DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, DeAndre Swift. That ain't bad. That's for damn sure.
No, definitely not.
Keenan Allen.
Yeah, so they have tried upgrading their offense a little bit. So, yeah. So I have to applaud them on that. However, though, they do need a franchise quarterback in this position. Caleb Williams from USC is the overall consensus pick of popular opinion.
Yeah.
There's only a couple things I would be very skeptical about him going to the pro level.
Yeah.
One, and this is just something that if you look at the lineage of time, when was the last time we had a great USC quarterback transition to the pros?
Palmer?
Carson Palmer would probably be the last one I could think of.
Leinart was okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing sexy. I can't even tell you another USC quarterback to come out after that. I know John David Booty went to like Minnesota or something, but he played for all of a hiccup.
Yeah, Sam Bradford?
Bradford was Oklahoma.
No, Darnold.
Darnold. Well, we saw how that happened with him.
Mm-hmm.
Sanchez. Well, it's the Sanchez.
Yeah.
Nothing really. Granted, Sanchez made it to back-to-back AFC championship games, but he's more remembered for the butt fumble than anything.
Right.
So, arguably, the last great USC quarterback we had was Palmer.
Yeah, and I mean, unfortunately, with his injuries.
That was 20-some-odd years ago.
Yeah, we never really saw the true fruition there.
Yeah.
So, in this situation, Williams is a safe pick. I am just curious about how he is going to translate to the pros. I'm hoping he does well.
Right.
I just don't know how that's going to go into a team that is in the midst of rebuilding itself.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Bears, they have to get him some weapons, which they have, but those weapons need to produce, because if they don't, it feels like we're going to have deja vu almost all over again.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it'll be interesting to see, just because he didn't strike me his last year at USC as like showing he's a number one guy. There were some question marks there.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Next up is another team not at all familiar with picking in the top 10 or hell, even the first top five picks in the NFL draft. And that would be the Washington Commanders, who much like Chicago Bears, need everything in the kitchen sink. And Ken, who do you think they're going to be picking at this spot?
See, I'm kind of torn in two positions here.
Okay.
I mean, one, if they stay at number two.
Could trade.
I feel that that is something that is a legitimate factor here.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, if they stay at number two, it's going to be Jaden Daniels from LSU. I'm sorry, getting the anger of Pad right now.
I'll explain it a little bit.
Right. But I think that other than Williams, I mean, if I was doing the draft and if I was the Bears, I would actually take Daniels first.
Sure.
I think that if you come out of the SEC and are very productive at that position.
And boy, was he ever.
Mm-hmm. I think that that's a smart move, and that's an easy slam dunk for me, that I think that you need somebody that is a proven winner in arguably the toughest division of college football.
Mm-hmm.
And you really need to stand out. And I think that Daniels has all those tools that I think that he can do it on the feet. He has a great arm. He is something that I really think could have been a better fit for Chicago.
Yeah.
With Washington, though, is a little bit of state of flux. Eric Bieniemy is no longer there as offensive coordinator.
Correct.
So it's a whole new coaching staff, whole new deal. This is where things could be a little dicey at first.
Added Austin Eckler in the offseason, Zach Ertz as well in the offseason. They got Jamison Crowder, Jahan Dotson as their wide receivers. Terry McLaurin's still there. I mean, so there's some pieces, but it's nothing sexy.
Well, that's the thing. I think with Ertz there, that does help. Because
holy shit, Jake from State Farm is in Washington. Jake Fromm.
Oh, jeez.
Shout out Jake Fromm.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So I think in this situation, though, I think Daniels is a smart pick.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say I think he winds up here unless a team like Minnesota trades up to go get him.
I could see that.
So
I could see that. I don't think Washington's going to – I think Washington's going to take a quarterback, but I don't think they're going to take Jaden Daniels. Just there's been some rumblings the last couple of weeks whether or not, you know, they'll take him. They're a little skeptical on him, just kind of his attitude and this and that. Could it all be a smokescreen for them masking who they're really going to take? Yeah, it's entirely possible. But I think they're going to be a little gun-shy. I think they're going to end up taking Drake May, the quarterback from North Carolina. Because NFC East is used to taking ACC quarterbacks in the draft where they probably shouldn't. and they might come to regret it. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I could.
I genuinely, and I know a lot of people got Drake May going to the Patriots. I don't get the whole love affair with Drake May.
No, I mean,
I don't watch a lot of UNC football games, but I just don't see it.
Well, let's break it down too, because I mean, the Patriots obviously have the next pick.
They do indeed,
and I think in this situation, they need a lot.
Yeah, they do.
It's a new era in Foxborough.
Yep.
So Drake May has been connected with the Patriots for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And I will agree with you, Pat. I don't get the love affair.
I don't either. I mean, I'm looking at his stats from this past season. In 2023, he completed 269 passes on 425 attempts. It's good for 63.3% completion percentage. Just over 3,600 yards. He averaged 8.5 yards a pass, 24 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Was sacked 29 times. Rushing, he had 112 carries for 449 yards, averaged 4 yards a carry, 9 touchdowns, and he had no receiving. He was better, at least statistically, in 2022, where he had 4,321 yards receiving, or not receiving, passing, excuse me, 38 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. So, like, the stats are there, but then again, we saw this with Daniel Jones,
mm-hmm.
where we went and we looked at the numbers and we're like, okay, the numbers are there. But then again, it's like I've told people before, I've had this conversation with friends who are like, why do you think, you know, the Giants took Daniel Jones? Because they looked at the numbers and they're like, wow, that was look really sexy. We can make his style work in our system. You look really sexy when you're greater than your opponents at your level. Because as I've said before, Duke, known for basketball, not really known for football.
Right.
Same can be said for UNC. UNC and Duke, they'll have some flashes in the pans and they'll have a little bit of success. But are they exactly contending, you know, for the college football playoffs every year? Are they contending for one of the big five or whatever it is, bowl games every year? Not really. But they're contending and they're always getting at least something that ain't on the first week of bowl week. But then again, that's because their quarterback is better than their competition. You put me in a peewee football game, I'm going to look like Tom Brady in his prime.
Yeah.
Same can be said for Daniel Jones and Drake May. They're going to look great because they're better than their opponents. You get to the NFL, though, all of a sudden, everyone's either at or above your level, and then you got to make an adjustment. Then you got to ball out, and then you got to improve. Daniel Jones, yet to do it. Drake May, we'll see.
Well, the biggest thing here with May that I think a lot of traditional coordinators and head coaches love is he has all the physical tools. That he's over 6'3", he's over 225 pounds. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he is physically ready for the league. And I think a lot of times the love affair is if you're a really physically built quarterback, they think that, oh, well, you're just a natural athlete. This will translate to leadership on the field and go right, from there.
Right.
And but like you've touched upon, we've seen how many quarterbacks get taken and really haven't proven themselves on that big stage.
Right.
I mean, you think about, you know, talking like a Sam Darnold.
Sure.
You know, talking sure. like how you mentioned Jamarcus Russell. Like, you've talked about quarterbacks that are very physically
imposing.
Yeah. And I think that you have just this notion that, like, that's the prototype for what you want for your quarterback.
Right.
And I say that has been a mistake for the longest amount of time.
Right.
Like, I can't even put into words how much it doesn't add up.
Right.
Because
it does for certain systems, but it's not a one size fits all.
Right. And that's the biggest problem that we have as we're kind of putting this all together, that teams are in love with May about this. And this is almost a disservice to him.
Right.
Because we've seen this happen before with another quarterback from North Carolina, the Maserati.
Oh, yeah.
Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
Who has a lot of similarities.
Had some success, but it wasn't anything like, oh my God, right. worth the spot he was taken in.
Right, and that's the problem that May is going to have as well as Trubisky did.
Yeah.
When you are drafted in this top 10 pick,
you have to produce.
You have to produce. You have to be a superstar. Otherwise, you're a bust.
Right.
It's high risk, high reward, so to speak, for teams to take you. Because if you wind up panning out, your GM is considered a genius.
Right.
If it fails out, well, unfortunately, this is what causes a lot of terminations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that for the Patriots, I don't necessarily know if they would take May here.
Right.
I mean, I know they need a quarterback.
They do.
But at the same time, I could see them taking a page out of Belichick's book and trading out.
There have been rumblings that they've gotten offers, but nothing has. They need to be blown away, is what the reports are for them to trade out of this pick. And all of the reports are that they have not been blown away in any way, shape, or form.
Well, I think that they know that there's a couple teams that are eyeing a quarterback for their franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll even bury the lead a bit.
Okay.
The Minnesota Vikings have been long rumored to jump into a higher position for this draft.
Sure.
Because obviously with Kirk Cousins going to, where is Atlanta?
Who is Atlanta?
They have a very big need for a quarterback.
Yeah, they do.
And especially with Justin Jefferson and his tenure in Minnesota up in the air as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's up in question.
Yeah.
They need to appease him very quickly to say, hey, we're going to really try winning. We're going to get the best possible quarterback we can to get you the ball and go from there.
I mean, if they want to trade him to us, we won't say no.
Well, he is rumored to be on the trading block, but at the same time, you would need almost a first, a second, and maybe a third to get him. And, and I'm not saying there's not a team out there that wouldn't do it per se, but I don't see the Patriots doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if they had enough picks to still get a franchise quarterback, they would do it.
Right.
And in this situation, I could see them doing, a move like that. But I guess I should say, just for this show's sake, I'm going to say they are going to take Drake May.
Okay.
But I really think that they have to let him sit.
I agree.
He
I agree 100% on that.
I think the more that you let him sit and pull a Jordan Love, you really would be doing this kid a service.
Yeah.
If they try rushing him in there for whatever reason, and this is weird saying because it's the Patriots, rushing into anything does not fit the mold.
Right.
If they have to because they go into a panic mode for whatever reason, they're asking for big problems, big time problems.
Right. I mean, so the thing of it is I don't think they're going to be taking Drake May. I think, as I said before, you're going to have Drake May go before to the Washington Commanders. And I think if that's the case, they're going to take Jaden Daniels. I love Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels has got fucking phenomenal numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You look at his stats last year, 236 completions on 327 attempts, 72.2% completion percentage, 3,812 yards passing, averaged 11.7 yards a pass, 40 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and then he rushed 135 times for 1,134 yards, averaged 8.4 yards a carry, and scored 10 touchdowns on the ground with his feet. That is amazing as all hell.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope they get him. If they're not able to, if for whatever reason Washington takes Jaden Daniels, don't take Drake May. Go for Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
Because you've got Jacoby Brissett as your starter this year. Bailey Zapp is there as well. And hell, if things go really fucking sideways, you got Nathan Rourke there as your third stringer.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the one thing the Patriots have lacked since Randy Moss left?
A true number one.
True number one. Now, this is no disrespect to Kendrick Bourne, DeMario Douglas, KJ Osborne, who they added in the offseason, you know, Juju, Tyquan, or any of the other receivers they got there. They're not a number one.
Mm-hmm.
There are some in there, you know, especially Kendrick Bourne, really solid number two. Really good second option if your number one guy there isn't open. But all the guys they've had in the last couple of seasons that they've signed, they're not number ones. The Patriots need a number one to throw to.
Right.
So if you're not able to get Jaden Daniels, which is the pick I'm going to go with, if they're not able to go him, get Marvin Harrison Jr.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it would be a solid pick. I think that if the Patriots really want to throw everything out of whack,
right,
they should go get Harrison. I think Harrison should be in that top three pick percentage.
Oh, yeah.
But you have to just see where your team is really leaning.
Mm-hmm.
I think for both Chicago and Washington, it's quarterback no matter what.
Right.
The Patriots are a very big X factor.
Mm-hmm.
Because they could always trade out and let another team in if they think they can get some equal value.
Right. And, I mean, whoever they get is going to have a real interesting offense to work with just because for the first time in 20-some-odd years, mm-hmm. we can actually tell you who the coaches are on the coaching staff. You know, they've got Alex Van Pelt as the offensive coordinator. I'm not going to go through his entire list. He's got stuff just stretching back as far as 2005, but hey, he was in Buffalo for a few years.
Yes, he was.
Was the Bills quarterback coach in 2008, was their offensive coordinator in 2009, was the QB coach for Tampa Bay, also the quarterback coach for Green Bay, was the quarterback's coach in Cincinnati from 18 to 19, offensive coordinator for Cleveland, and then was the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach last season in Cleveland. So he's got some pedigree there. And then if we end up taking quarterback, we have an interesting quarterback coach as well, because that is T.C. McCartney, who, again, host of other things, but more recently was in the Cleveland Browns system, but was also a quarterback coach in Denver. So he's got some people to work with that aren't green behind the ears.
Yeah, I mean,
we'll see.
Yeah, they're going to put it together. I just think that for where they are going to go.
Also, they hired Matthew Slater, smartest offseason move in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, I would say that was a very smart move for them.
I might be biased on that, though.
Yeah, no, but they needed to get him.
Yeah.
So that being said, I mean, the Patriots
should take a quarterback, and I'm hoping it's Jaden Daniels.
Right.
We'll see with number four, though, because this is a team that, whew, boy, you talk about having an interesting few years.
Yeah.
Criminy Jesus. It's the Arizona Cardinals. Did not have a good year last year, although maybe Kyler Murray did. I don't know how. Somebody check his Call of Duty stats.
Mm-hmm.
Hey-o. But the Arizona Cardinals need a lot, and a wide receiver is seemingly one of them. And I'm going to guess, because I'm going on the theory in the path that the Patriots are taking a quarterback with the number three pick, they're probably going to go with Marvin Harrison Jr., the wide receiver from the Ohio State University.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I think Arizona, unless they do something really wild here, I mean, quarterback is not going to be picked here.
Right.
No way, shape, or form.
Right.
Unless they trade. But we
wish
could say
I wouldn't put it past them.
Well, you have to think with Arizona, they have a lot of needs.
Yeah, they do.
So if a team can really throw them something
mm-hmm.
to get into that position,
mm-hmm.
I think they would be more entertaining than, say, the Patriots.
Yeah.
I just think that Arizona just has to do so much here.
Yeah.
But they definitely need to upgrade that wide receiver position.
I mean, I'm looking at their depth chart here. James Conner, obviously good running back they got there. But then you look at the wide receiver core. Michael Wilson, Zach Pascal, Caden Davis, Chris Moore, Jeff Smith, Dan Chesina, Trey McBride, Elijah Higgins, Trace Vokolik, Blake Whitehart are tight ends they got down there.
Yeah.
So are any of those really going, yeah, that's the guy I'm taking in the third or fourth round of my fantasy football draft?
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole problem you have.
If you're saying you are, put your hand down, you're lying.
Yeah. So
Connor, I can agree with. The rest of them, yeah.
It could happen. I mean, unless they really want to take, and granted, this would be a flyer, though.
I could see him taking a defensive guy.
They could take a defensive guy. I could see him going for Brock Bowers, though, the tight end from Georgia.
Okay.
I could see that. Now, granted, I think that's a slight stretch.
You mean the college football producing university that is the University of Georgia isn't going to automatically ship him to Philadelphia like they do every year?
No, I don't think he winds up in Philly.
Philly fans, I kid because I care.
Yeah, but it could happen. But like I say, I don't necessarily know if they're going to do that. I think if Arizona stays in the position, they're going to go get a skills player.
Sure.
Harrison makes the most sense. He's the number one consensus pick for wide receiver.
Sure.
So if Arizona is smart, they do that. If they really want to go for throw everything out of whack.
Sure.
And they go for Bowers, because Bowers could help in that offense as well too.
Sure.
I could see that happening there. But I'll just say, for our argument's sake,
sure,
Harrison's on his way to Arizona.
Next up is the LA Chargers, who got a new head coach. So bright new shiny paint. We'll see what happens with that.
Mm-hmm.
Got Justin Herbert there, who he ain't that bad. And who do you think they're going to take?
Well, I think that they need to replace Keenan Allen.
This is true.
Yeah, I mean, Austin Eckler is a bad loss too, but I think Keenan Allen was more of a, we'll say, security blanket for Justin Herbert.
Uh-huh.
So you need to get him a wide receiver that's going to help out.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I'm going to say, if Marvin Harrison is on the board, he goes here.
Okay.
He doesn't, I'll just say this, win, lose, or draw, Harrison does not leave the top five.
Right.
But I will say that I think that they're going to take Malik Nabers.
Okay.
From LSU.
LSU, a good receiver.
Yeah, I think that he's got the big play ability that I think would really flourish with Harbaugh.
Sure.
And I think for Justin Herbert, he needs a solid wide receiver, like a real number one to step up and emerge without Keenan Allen there.
Okay. I agree with everything you said. However, I think there's a certain team up in the frozen tundra up north.
Okay.
No, I'm not talking the Green Bay Packers. I'm saying the Minnesota Vikings. I think they're going to get a little nervous. I think the temperature under their feet is going to get a little roasty toasty, because all of a sudden, you're at the number fucking five pick, and you know three quarterbacks at least are off the draft board, and you're going to get a little nervous. You're going to get a little jerky there. So I think they're going to make a trade with the LA Chargers and jump in at the number five position, and I think they're going to take J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan.
See, here is the big X factor of any pick.
Okay.
Is McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a top five quarterback? Debatable. I mean, he has the intangibles, don't get me wrong, but at the same thought too,
mm-hmm,
it's hard to judge,
right?
I mean, like, this is the definition of high risk, high reward.
Sure.
I think for Minnesota, he does fit their system really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot to give to get up there to go get him.
Sure.
And he has been the hot name that teams such as the Raiders,
yeah,
the Vikings,
yeah,
have all been rumored to be heavily interested in trading up for.
And the reason I say they're going to trade up for him, because you look at where we're at. We're at the number five pick. Okay, you got the Giants at six. Could potentially take him.
That's a potential, yep.
That's a potential. Tennessee, also maybe, you never know, if they want to hedge their bets with Will Levis. You know, Atlanta, enough said.
Yep.
You got the Chicago Bears, who presumably, because if what we've been saying goes right, they don't need one. And then you've got the New York Jets at number 10. And again, Aaron Rodgers ain't getting any younger.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't even tell you. I'd have to look up who their second string guy is. So could see it go to the number 10 spot. So if everything stays pat and Minnesota doesn't trade up, I don't think there's any way McCarthy makes it all the way to 11.
Yeah, it's a big question mark involving him. So I will say this. I could see them trading up here as well.
Okay.
I just think, though, Harbaugh might not want to do some business about that.
It could be.
Because I think what he's doing is he's assessing, is it worth giving up a potential number one wide receiver,
right,
to go down in the draft? And then you have to think, would Nabers still be around?
Right.
At from 5 to 11. Like, that's a big question,
yeah,
mark.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with J.J. McCarthy, he's a good player.
Mm-hmm.
But he, to me, and admittedly, Penn State guy, so there might be a little bit of bias in this, he's not sexy to me. Like, I watched him for the entire game they played against Penn State towards the end of the regular season last year. And he's got flashes of talent, flashes of brilliance, but it wasn't anything that I'm like, holy hell.
Mm.
Like, because admittedly, I don't watch a lot of Michigan State games, Michigan games, you know, so it was my first time seeing him. And he didn't blow me away like Marvin Harrison Jr. did.
Right.
You know, Marvin Harrison, I'd heard everything about him. I'd heard the hype. I heard he's as good as his father, if not better. And he played again, and I saw him play against Penn State, and I watched a couple games, and I'm like, holy fuck. Like, this dude's the real deal. That's when I started going, yo, Patriots, draft this guy. I want this guy on my team.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the game with Michigan, and I went, it's not bad, but it's not going – that's my guy. That's the, you know, pre-order the jersey the day he gets drafted. We'll see, but, you know, it's not jumping out to me going, yeah, he's the dude.
I agree. To trade up to the top five to go get him, that's a stretch.
Oh, I agree with you. But so, then again, I think Minnesota's going to be looking at this going,
oh, they're
going
to get, they're going to get panicky.
Yeah, no, they are.
And I think they make a trade a little later in the first round here.
Okay.
So we'll kind of go from there.
Okay. Next up is our favorite team from the New York State.
Indeed.
No, we're not talking about the Jets. We are talking about the New York Football Giants, who need everything and a bag of chips.
Mm-hmm. Well, this one, I can already hear Coach Duffy scream in adulation for who I think they're going to take. The Giants need a lot, but the one thing is... they need an offensive line,
and
I think they're going to go to the University of Notre Dame and take Joe Alt.
Christ.
I really think that they're going to go there. They need to do some upgrading on that line.
Desperately.
Because I know that a lot of teams think, or a lot of fans think they're going to go for wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. If Daniel Jones is on his back, it's not going to matter who is in the on the ends to go catch.
Or he's running for his life and can't look.
Yeah, so they need to address this. Daboll and the powers that be over there should be, you know, looking at this and saying this is where we need to go.
Right.
And I feel that if they do this, this would be a big step in the right direction for where they want to go if they really want to salvage anything with Daniel Jones. If they're all in about getting another quarterback... it's not out of the realm of thought. If McCarthy falls here, I could see them taking it because that would be a move I could see that front office making.
Sure.
Would I do it? Absolutely not. But the Giants, I think the Giants are feeling the pressure of the New York media quite intensely.
You would think so.
So I think that they would want to make a big splash.
Mm-hmm.
If they took McCarthy here, that would do it. I know that if there's a great wide receiver still on the board like Neighbors or Rome Nduzi from Washington,
sure,
I could see him winding up here, but I think the safe pick would be Joe Alt.
Okay. So I think I agree with you. The Giants need to address a lot at the offensive position, offensive side of the ball, including the line. But I think they're not going to be able to pass up on this guy. And I think the Giants are going to take Malik Neighbors, the wide receiver from LSU, because I'm looking at the Giants wide receiving core. Darius Slayton, Isaiah McKenzie, Miles Boykin, Chase Cota, Wandale Robinson, Isaiah Hodgins, Bryce Ford, Wheaton, Jalen Hyatt, Gunnar Olszewski, Dennis Houston, and then a tight end, Darren Waller, Daniel Bellinger, Jack Stoll, Chris Manhertz. Anybody striking fear in you in that wide receiving core?
No.
I think most, and I say most, to secondaries and defensive teams are going to sit there and look at that matchup and go, shit, we got an easy week this week.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, no, I do. I agree.
So it will be interesting to see how this plays out. So Giants just need a lot of help. I can see them really listening to some trade offers as well.
They really do. Next up is the team at the number 7 position who didn't have all that great a year, but that was to be expected, and that is the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, Tennessee, they're another team that's in this little stage of flux.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say right now, I think this is where Minnesota trades in
to
the top 10.
Okay.
I don't think the Tennessee stays here. I mean, obviously, if Joe Alt is somehow still here, yeah, he's going to Tennessee.
Right.
That's no question of that.
Yeah.
So I think we'll just have to wait to see how that shapes up.
Mm-hmm.
And then But I'm going to say right here, Minnesota trades in.
Okay. So I'm going to go with, because you look at Tennessee, I don't think they're going to take a quarterback at this point, because I think any of the sexy quarterbacks that could have had a potential to take the limelight and the spotlight away from Will Levis are going to be gone at this point. And, I mean, you look at their wide receiving core. They've got Calvin Ridley's there, DeAndre Hopkins, Treylon Burks. They got Okonowu as their tight end there. So that's not too bad. They got Tony Pollard as a running back, acquired him in the offseason. So I think offensively, these guys are good. Tennessee's good. So I think with this pick, they do need to upgrade their offensive line, though. Woof, yikes. So I think they're going to take Joe Alt, the offensive tackle from Notre Dame.
Like I say, I think if he's still there, I think he's a lock.
Not making it out of the top 10, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, I fully agree.
Then we get to the team that ever since they gave up 25 points unanswered. A lot more than that, though. But, yeah, we'll see. You know. Mm-hmm. It's things have been downhill for them. One of their franchise quarterbacks for a lot of those years, including that Super Bowl loss, retired recently. Matty Ice, congratulations, sir.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you for the Super Bowl. But up next with the number 8 overall pick is, who is Atlanta?
What is Atlanta?
They're up with the number 8 pick.
Yeah, and this one, they're going defense. I think they've gone on offense for
the last couple of years.
Yeah, so they're set as they're going to be for right now.
Yeah.
And this one, I think they're going defensive end, and I think Dallas Turner from Alabama is the prime choice here.
I know. I agree with that pick exactly. They got Kirk Cousins, the man I'll say this. I don't think I've said this on air yet because we really haven't talked about it, but if the agent for Kirk Cousins doesn't write a deal or write a book on how to get the perfect contract or the perfect deal, it's a missed opportunity.
Oh, absolutely.
The amount of money this man has gotten for his client, astonishing. But they've got Kirk Cousins, Taylor Heineke is their backup there, Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Darnell Mooney, Rondale Moore, Kyle Pitts. Offensively, they're fine.
Mm-hmm.
They've got everything they need. So I do think they need to look at things defensively because they give up a lot of points.
Yes, they do.
Next up is a team that, this is not a mistake. They're back in the top 10 picks of the first round of the draft because this is their original pick. This is where they landed. And this would be at the number 9 position, the Chicago Bears.
How weird is it that they're going to be in Detroit for the draft,
mm-hmm.
and the Bears are picking twice in the first round?
Uh-huh.
I don't think the crowd's going to be too happy about that.
Nope.
No, but this one...
Carolina Panthers fans, if you show up, why? You don't have a team in the first fucking round.
Yeah, well, it's a spectacle. I've gone to I've gone to the draft before, too, and it's an interesting time.
I believe it.
I will say, down in New York, it was very interesting, because I walked in on the infamous Ricky Williams trade.
Mm.
Oh, I have some stories, but I can't say them on air. Maybe for Patreon. They'll be a fun one. But that being said... for the Bears here, I think they got to go defense. I like Jared Verse from Florida State.
All right.
I think they're going to do a smart pick here. I could see them, if there's a prime wide receiver still on the board at this position,
sure,
go there. But I think the Bears just need so much help, period.
Yeah, they do.
That I think they address the biggest need on offense. The biggest need on defense, in my opinion, is an edge.
Yeah.
So I think that this is where they got to go.
So I think the Bears are going to stick with offense just because – they need that's where I think you need to build first and then go for defense. And I think they're going to go with the gentleman, the wide receiver from Washington, Rome Odunze. Look at his numbers. Granted, I don't watch a lot of Washington games, West Coast team, living on the East Coast. I get it. But just looking at his numbers, 92 catches last year, 1,640 yards, 17.8 yards a catch, almost fucking 2 first downs. God damn.
Mm.
13 touchdowns, and then rushing. He had a couple rushes. He carried the ball twice, 37 yards, had one rushing touchdown. So dual threat guy there. Plus he can do some returning. Plus he played on defense. So I think he's got all the fillings there. And plus you look at what Chicago's got just from outside the quarterback position. DeAndre Swift, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen. This is a guy that can come in and be your number 3 receiver, and there's no pressure on the guy because, hey, we've already got our number 1. We've got our number 2. Well, we're good. So this is a guy I think they can come in, develop in the system, learn, and become a really good wide receiver.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's going to be a great pro.
Yeah. Next up with the 10th pick of the first round in the NFL draft. Oh, boy. Team that's had a lot of promise, but less than 5 minutes into their season last year, it went up.
Yep.
In smoke. Sorry, I tried to snap with my bat hand. And it is the New York Jets, and boy, do they need a lot. Quarterback, though. Presumably not one.
No, I wouldn't say so. I mean, it would be a it would be a stones move, if you will, because they would have to have a lot of stones to do that to Aaron Rodgers after all the nonsense last year. So I will say that that would be that kind of move if they took a quarterback. No, I like, and I apologize, I'm probably going to mess up the gentleman's name, Onwumia Fashuna from Penn State.
Oh, okay.
The offensive tackle?
Yeah.
You're the Penn State.
Yeah, no, dude's real good. Tell you that much. Real go-getter, real baller. Good luck getting past the guy.
Yeah, Fashanu, I think, is really going to be something that they need there.
Dude's going to have a really dynamic career, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, so I think that for the Jets, that makes the most sense.
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah.
I think they're going to stick offensive, and I think they're going to take Brock Bowers, the tight end from Georgia. I mean, listen, you look at the Jets. Assuming Aaron Rodgers is healthy this year.
Yeah.
Because if they not, oh, that's right. They do have a second string. It's the old Tyrod. But you look at their wide receiving core. Breece Hall is there. Then for running back, and then wide receiver core, Garrett Wilson, Alan Lazard, Irvin Charles, Mike Williams, Jason Brownlee, Lance McCutcheon, Xavier Gibson, Malik Taylor. It's not bad. Yeah, could be better, but then they're tight end. Tyler Conklin, Jeremy Ruckert, Kenny Yeboah, and Zach Kuntz. Kuntz.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you look at that, that's not good. That's kind of shitty. So I think Bowers can come in and be an instant upgrade at that position.
I agree, too. The only thing over the course of his career, though, Rodgers has never favored a tight end, per se,
sure,
as the number one option. So with Bowers there, I think that would change up a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think that they need a little more on that offensive side of things, so I could see that definitely playing out.
All right.
So, I mean, that being said, that's the top 10.
Uh-huh.
Your team was already mentioned, I know, yep, for my Buffalo Bills.
Number 28 pick.
Well, I'm going to say this. I think that they are going to be trading.
Ooh.
And I think, as wild as this might sound,
which is interesting,
I think they're going to try either trading up to 12, because they've always had a good deal with Denver.
Right.
And I think that they're going to go for a replacement for Stephon Diggs.
Okay.
And I could see them.
That is their glaring issue right now.
Right. And I think if Nduze from Washington is still on the board,
okay,
I think that they're going to go up and get him.
Okay.
Because the only question mark is, obviously, if there's a great wide receiver there that late.
Right.
That would be interesting to, add for Josh Allen, because I think Josh can work with anybody.
Sure.
I know that there is also talk of a Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU down in that position as well.
Right.
I could see them staying there if they think they got a chance to go get him. I will say this. The Bills' first pick is going to be wide receiver.
Absolutely. No, I'm not entirely sure the dude from LSU, Brian Thomas Jr. is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's going to end up happening is I think the Bills are going to take one of the Texas wide receivers at that position, because I agree with you. They're going to take a receiver at that spot. Defensively, they're all right. Offensively, you look at the running back, they're fine. Quarterback, LOL.
Mm-hmm.
Tight end, again, ha. No, their glaring issue is at wide receiver. So I think they're going to end up taking one of the guys from Texas, the Longhorns, either Adonai Mitchell or Xavier Worthy. Either one would be a good pickup.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Although, if they're Southern boys, boy, you better adjust to that weather real quick.
Yeah, I was going to say, the frozen tundra that is Buffalo in mid-December is not exactly the best place to play.
Good food, shit weather.
Yeah.
At least for part of the year.
Yes. But like I say, I think this is where the Bills are going to wind up going,
yeah,
and they do have some options. I mean, it just depends on how far they want to trade the draft.
Yeah.
I mean, I've even heard a wild scenario. They could even try trading with the Vikings their first and second pick for Justin Jefferson.
Good
because
Lord.
Of how the deal is structured this year.
Right. Well, and I've tried with trade machines online. Bills can't trade for Jefferson, right now. It's then the issue becomes, you got to re-sign him because he's coming up on the end of his rookie deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think the only other option that they might do, because it would be possible is T. Higgins.
Yeah.
From Cincinnati, which I think he'd be great as a number one.
He'd be a decent addition. Whether he's a number one, we'll see. He's always had other guys around him that he's never had to be a number one. So that'd be an opportunity to see, can he be a number one?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of interesting ways the Bills can play this year's draft. Yeah. So I think it'll be fun to watch to see.
Yeah.
But I would say this. If they have a chance at a legit number one, I could see them trading as high as to 12.
Okay.
I think that 12th pick could be a very interesting one.
I feel like that's going to be the case for a lot of teams that, like, they're looking for that. Because this seems to be a very offensively geared draft. Mm-hmm. Unlike years past where it's been very defensive heavy. This seems like it's very offensive heavy, and there's a lot of teams that need a lot of offensive weapons.
Yeah.
And I get the feeling there's going to be a lot of teams, especially that first round, that are going to be real nervous and jerky and want to go, shit, there's no chance our guy's going to be there. By the time our pick comes around, we got to move now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I could definitely see that happening too. I think the Raiders are going to be another team to watch too.
Yeah.
I would not say that Antonio Pierce might be aggressive, depending on who they want to take if they see a franchise quarterback in that mix.
I mean, listen, Antonio Pierce and the Raiders set the tone with the Super Bowl. If you don't know what I mean, the Raiders wouldn't let the Chiefs use the home locker room for the Allegiant Stadium out there.
Yeah, so I could see them going to get a quarterback in that position. I could even see a Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, I could see. Yeah,
I could see him winding up being a Raider.
Yeah,
if not, maybe J.J. McCarthy too. Like, I think that they're going to be in play there for that next tier of quarterbacks.
Sure.
But it really doesn't matter where you're drafted as long as you produce on the field. And I think that's what every team is looking for what their needs are going to be.
Yeah. So the draft takes place from April 25th through April 27th. If you're in the area and you got tickets, it is from the campus Martius Park in downtown Detroit, Michigan. Round one, will be on ESPN, ABC, ESPN2, NFL Network, ESPN Deportes, ESPN Radio, NFL Radio. I know, I'm watching the Pat McAfee coverage. Pat McAfee's got the greatest coach of all time, Bill Belichick, doing it with him, so I know who the hell I'm watching for the NFL draft. Round one is Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Rounds two and three are Friday, April 26th at 7 o'clock Eastern. And then rounds four through seven are on Saturday, April 27th at noon Eastern. Check your local listings and schedules for where and when it's on.
Yeah, definitely make sure you're checking out the draft, and then definitely hit us up on the hashtag ODPHpod. What is your feelings going into the NFL draft? Who do you think is going to be a great late pick? You know, second, third rounds is usually where they really start building those teams up. And then you never know who's going to be the diamond in the rough. I mean, we've seen Mr. Irrelevant turn into a Super Bowl playing quarterback.
Yeah.
So anything is possible. Let us know how your team is doing and give us your picks about who you think your team is taking first. We definitely want to have that conversation. That being said, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Do you like comic books?
What about movies and TV shows?
Well, we may be the show for you.
We're Hops Geek News, a weekly podcast that discusses comics, movies, and TV shows while featuring a beer of the week.
Every week, we chat about what we messed up on the week before, and then we dive into what we're reading and watching, as well as some news.
We then wrap it up with a geek-themed topic of the week.
You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts by searching Hops Geek News.
Cheers.
Coming back for another segment on this edition of the ODPH podcast, and we have to talk about a wild week of NBA playoff action.
Whoa, buddy.
Yes. The playoffs are in full swing. A lot of storylines going on here. Yeah. So, Pad, wherever you want to start, let's roll.
Let's start out west, and we're going to talk about the play-in tournament because those games are officially over. We know who's moved on into the first round of the playoffs. And, of course, you had the ninth-seeded Sacramento Kings taking on the 10th-seeded Golden State Warriors. Let's not beat around the bush. The Kings beat the Warriors. The Warriors are out of the playoffs.
It's insane to think, but we are now in a transition period for Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green.
Yep.
That the dynasty that was is no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just Father Time has caught up with them.
Yeah.
Other teams are getting better in that position.
Yeah.
And as we're seeing this all play, this is where things are really developing into a true change of the guard. As wild as that is. Like,
I mean, you see this with every team, though. You know, you saw it with the Bulls. You saw it with you can even put the San Antonio Spurs in there when it was the Tim Duncan years, so how dominant they were and how many titles they won. And then, you know, they were still competitive, but they weren't exactly making it to the finals every other year.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So this could be a situation that Sacramento punch their way a little further than Golden State. Golden State's got to take a look at that offseason and retool.
Yep.
A lot.
And then on the other side of the Western Conference play-in tournament, you had the Los Angeles Lakers defeat the New Orleans Pelicans. So the Lakers moved on, and they are playing the Denver Nuggets in the first round of the NBA playoffs. But for the second round of the play-in tournament, you had the ninth-seeded Sacramento Kings taking on the seventh-seeded New Orleans Pelicans. And from that matchup, you had the New Orleans Pelicans emerge victorious, defeating the Sacramento Kings. So the Pelicans are currently taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder in the first round.
So they have had a very interesting series thus far, to put it mildly. New Orleans is not exactly being shy about trying to take as much as they can to Oklahoma City.
I mean, let's face it, they're flying under the radar. Nobody's really expecting them to get past the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Thunder, number one seed in the Western Conference. So they're playing with house money.
Right, but they gave them all they could on game one.
Yep.
Oklahoma City did win 94-92 on a very, very wild last minute of the game.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see where New Orleans goes from here.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the two spot, Denver is rolling like nothing has happened.
To quote the fans in attendance, who's your daddy?
Yes.
Because what is it? The Lakers are now like 0-9 their last however many games against the Nuggets?
Yeah.
God damn.
Jokic and company are absolutely imposing their will. I'm going to borrow from the UFC for this.
Yeah.
And I hate saying it to the LeBron fans, but we have to have that honest conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I know that he is now approaching that twilight of the career.
Yeah.
There's maybe a couple seasons left if we're all lucky.
Yeah.
But this team, as it stands right now, is not going to be contending.
They'll be lucky if they make it out of the first round.
Yeah, I mean,
something catastrophic will have to happen to the Denver Nuggets for the Lakers to make it out of this first round.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say fully sweep, but I'm going to say I would not doubt it happening.
I think if it's not a sweep, because that's where I'm leaning sweep. But if it's not, the Lakers might eke out one game, and that's because Denver might have like a bad shooting night.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I could see it going five, but
yeah.
I honestly think this could be a sweep. Jamal Murray is playing lights out too, especially second halves.
Jesus Christ.
He has like an insane stat up for like how many points he's putting on in late in the fourth quarter. So if he is now going to be their closer, that's going to be a tremendous asset to Denver. I mean, when he's healthy, he's always been great.
Right.
So having him now really getting into that, you know, playoff run, LA is in trouble, big time trouble.
Yeah. Then out east in the play-in tournament, you had the ninth-seeded Chicago Bulls defeat the tenth-seeded Atlanta Hawks. They moved on to the next stage of the play-in tournament. And over on the other side, you had the 76ers take on the Miami Heat, and you had the Philadelphia 76ers emerge victorious. They moved on in the first round of the playoffs. They are facing the two-seeded New York Knickerbockers. And then in terms of the second round of the play-in tournament, you had the Miami Heat minus Jimmy Butler still defeat the Chicago Bulls and emerge victorious to take on the Boston Celtics in the first round of the NBA playoffs.
Well, let's just say this. If Miami doesn't have Jimmy Butler,
it's real hard.
I'm sorry. It's not even a series. He literally is playoff Jimmy for a reason. And the fact that they were without him, I mean, game one, Boston won 114-94.
I mean, let's call it what it is. The fucking Celtics dog walked them. Good Lord.
Yeah. Like you say, it wasn't even close.
Uh-huh.
So say Boston will probably sweep them. That won't be a question.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the series that everybody's talking about.
Milwaukee versus the Pacers.
Well, they are talking about that one, but
Clippers versus the Mavericks.
Well, we will get into that a little bit.
Oh, sorry. You mean the Knicks.
The Knicks.
Right, right.
Are electrifying the Madison Square Garden faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Two wins back-to-back. Game one, 111-104, and then the dramatic game two, 104-101. And this is where we're seeing, you know, DiVincenzo, getting all wound up. See, I have to talk slow because I get too wound up talking about this. But Dante DiVincenzo and Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson are playing absolutely lights out. And the series of events that took place, you know, to put the stamp of approval on that game two. A lot of questionable contact underneath. I'm not going to shy away from it. that I feel Maxey got fouled. They should have got called. Nick Nurse was trying to call a timeout for Philadelphia on the sidelines. Nobody heard it.
Even Stephen A., the most ardent of New York Knicks fans, courtside at the game. The foul against Maxey, he said on First Take today, took place like 3 feet to the left of him.
Yeah.
And even Stephen A. agreed that it was a foul.
Yeah, I understand about letting him play, and I will say this. The referees were letting him play the entire game. However, in that kind of situation, it's tough to swallow the whistle then when it's that blatant.
Yeah.
And that's the problem that happened in New York, and I think that maybe it was just a situation of the atmosphere there that the referees just got, you know, caught off guard, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But they did not make that call. The Knicks did what they had to do. DiVincenzo absolutely just lit him up. Like I say, when he's on, he's on.
The other thing I got to say is Brunson's been good defensively for them. Dude's got to step it up offensively.
Yeah.
Because I'm sorry, we'd be remiss if we didn't point this out. 29% field goal percentage in the postseason this year.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Well, I think there's a lot of it that he's putting some pressure on himself because Randall's not there.
Right. But the points per game, you know, 23, that's not bad. That's good. 7.5 rebounds. That's also good. 6.5 assists. Also good. It's a good stat line. But then you look at the percentages and it's like, hey, yikes.
Yeah. So I think that's something that will get worked out. But when DiVincenzo is playing to pick up a lot of that slack.
Right, that helps.
That helps huge.
Yes.
And that's something that the Knicks have not had for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
So now going into Philadelphia on Thursday night, that is going to be a real test for Philly.
Win.
Well, Philly, I know, is talking tough and saying it doesn't matter. We're okay. We're, you know, everything's fine. We're going to win this. I mean,
the thing is, you got punched in the mouth the first two games. Now you're on home court. You got home cooking. So, I mean, Christ, at this point, I think every home team has won every game this season, so we'll see if that holds up come Thursday. But you have to respond.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, this team's got to get gone bye-bye.
Yeah, well, I think that it all comes down to if Joel Embiid is healthy enough to go.
That is true.
I know he injured himself doing a self-dunk, which you have
that's
to watch.
That's like Manny Ramirez stubbing his toe levels of dumb.
Yeah, so when that happens, you know, that's going to cause some problems. But if Embiid is not 100%, Maxey, I know, is sick for game two, but he showed up.
Right.
They're going to need to put on a performance in Philadelphia. I could see them at least splitting the series. But
Ben Simmons, where are you?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. I'm sure he's watching the offseason with the rest of the Brooklyn.
Yeah, that's true.
But for the Knicks, I mean, they have to finish this out. They have to finish strong because taking a look at the other series going on, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you take a look at Milwaukee and the Pacers.
Yeah, Milwaukee currently up one game to none.
Yep.
Game two tonight as we record.
Yeah, so Milwaukee, I mean, Dame Lillard is definitely excited about this. He's definitely stepped up.
Yeah.
And I know that he's going to want to keep this momentum going. I think for the first time in a long time, he's seen a true path to the finals.
Yeah.
So I know
East is a lot easier than the West.
Right, so I think he's seeing that he has the chance to really excel and do this.
Right.
However, though, another team that's kind of flying maybe a little under the radar with all the highlights going on is Cleveland.
Up two games to none over Orlando.
Yeah, so Cleveland could make some noise. I don't know necessarily if they're going to make enough to get to the finals.
They'll make it out of this round, but again, it's much like, you know, any of the other, you know, mid-ranked teams, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
They'll win. They'll make it out of the first round, but they ain't making it any further. Like, because at this point, whoever wins that Cleveland-Orlando series is going to get the winner of Boston, and I'll be gracious and just mention them. They'll get the winner of Boston and Miami. We know it's going to be Boston.
Yeah.
But good fucking luck.
Yeah, I think Boston is just playing at such a high level. It's going to be really tough to dethrone them. Like, I think if anything, if the Knicks get there,
sure,
that's going to be the biggest problem.
That's going to be the Boston's real test.
Yeah, I think that's going to be Boston's serious test. And then very quickly going back to the West, because we have to kind of talk about one series in particular, and that is Minnesota and Phoenix.
Yeah.
And the emergence of Anthony Edwards, Ant-Man, imposing his will. They took game one, 120-95.
God damn.
And seeing Edwards go right at Durant.
Ooh.
Like, we talked.
Show no fear.
Absolutely no fear. He was mouthing off.
Yo, let's go.
And yeah, like I say, I respect the bravado.
Sure.
Because we've always had that kind of like mystique about, you know, when these great players get in the playoffs, like they're untouchable.
Yeah.
Edwards went right at him and did not care. And I think that
it's the playoffs, anything can happen.
Well, that's the whole point. I think that they really want to say that this season was not a fluke.
Right. There's a reason we're the number three seed.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't some charity auction. You know, we didn't win this by placing the highest bid.
Right.
Well, we're here for a reason.
So I think that they're going to definitely want to make some noise, especially if they have to face Denver in the second round.
I mean, because, Chris, you even think about it, just the Western Conference as a whole and how little Minnesota has gotten focused on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Lakers and the Warriors got focused on more than the Timberwolves.
Right. So I think that they're definitely coming in with a little chip on their shoulder.
Sure.
Much like the Los Angeles Clippers, who defeated those Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah.
109-97, taking a one-game advantage. Their second game is tonight as we record. And this is a situation that I think we talk about teams and players with chips on their shoulders. James Harden.
Yeah.
I think is really going to want to make a statement in the series.
I think if there's any one of these series that could go the full distance, this is it. Because I can see this being a real back-and-forth heavyweight title fight, you know, punch for punch, pound for pound, between the two. The other ones, they'll go. I think Phoenix and Minnesota could go a couple games. I don't think it's going the full distance. Nuggets and Lakers sure as shit ain't.
No.
The OKC and who is it? Pelicans? No. Celtics and Heat? No. Cleveland and Orlando could. I don't think it'll go the full distance. Bucks and Pacers aren't. And the Knicks and 76ers aren't. So out of any one of these that could go the full distance, I think it's going to be Clippers and Dallas.
It could be. I think those two will go. I could see, you know, pending with Orlando, they could give Cleveland a run. I don't think Philly and New York is going to go any farther than six, maybe.
I think it'll go five.
I think a five is a safe
bet. I think Philly will get one at home, and then the Knicks will win out.
Yeah, because I think the Knicks want to win at home.
Yeah.
Because they want to see New York riot.
If you really put the NYPD to the test.
If you have not seen the footage, watch. You can go on TikTok. You can go on Instagram. Take a look for the post-game celebration of fans outside the Garden.
I was like, Chris, look at the footage from when they beat Boston. What was it, last season?
Mm-hmm.
And how nuts they went for the first game of the regular season.
Yeah. That's why I say, if the Knicks get to the finals, it's over. Like,
yep.
I'm not saying, well, as a fan, I'm going to say we're going to win, but I'm just saying that city is already pumped up, and we're already two games into a play-in series.
Yeah.
Like, how insane is that? But this is what basketball does in playoff time. It gets everybody excited, everybody fired up. Pat, any kind of final predictions going into there?
I'm still standing pat with what I said before. I think it's going to end up being the Boston Celtics and the Denver Nuggets in the finals. Nothing I've really seen has shaken my belief in that. It's going to be interesting, though. Should be fun.
Yeah, I'm still saying I'm with you on that. I think Boston and Denver are going to be there. But, man, I'm telling you, if the Knicks can carry this energy into those next couple rounds, it's going to be some real fun basketball.
Uh-huh.
That being said, hit us up on the hashtag ODPHpod. What is your takes on the NBA playoffs thus far? How is your team doing? And where do you think everybody's still projected to go? Are you still sticking with what you said last week? Or are you kind of flipping everything around? Let's have that talk, shall we? But first, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You ever wondered what comics Mark from Vale Mai is into? What Zach from Left Behind's favorite MCU movies are? Well, Metalcore Nerds is the show for you. My name is Sean Mott, and here at Metalcore Nerds, we cover the latest things in pop culture, whether it be Star Wars, Marvel, DC, AEW, and everything else in between. You can listen to the show every Monday on Adobe Howl at 7 p.m. Eastern, or find it anywhere you find podcasts after it debuts on the radio station.
Coming back for another segment on this edition of the ODPH podcast, and we have to talk some pro wrestling.
Hell yeah, we do.
A lot of things happen in the world of WWE, so Pat, let's get into it.
Yeah, of course, the next pay-per-view they got coming up is coming up in just about another week or so. I think it's a week from this coming Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. Let me check the calendar. Yes, it's a week from this coming Saturday, taking place in Lyon, France. It would be Backlash, and we don't know a whole ton about the card, but we do know a couple of matches. Obviously, on Monday Night Raw last week, as we alluded to, or we talked about last week, Jey Uso won the number one contenders match, or whatever it was.
The Fatal 4-Way.
Fatal 4-Way to become the number one contender and earn himself a shot at the World Heavyweight Championship against Damian Priest at said event. Also taking place last week on Friday Night SmackDown, to be specific, other than fucking Tama Tonga coming in and being an absolute menace again. Thoughts and prayers to Kevin Owens. Hope you recover soon, sir. Is AJ Styles defeating L.A. Knight.
Yeah.
And he will be taking on the one, the only, the undisputed WWE champion, Cody Rhodes at Backlash.
Two very solid main events.
I would say so.
I'm very happy with both. I believe this is the first time that Cody and AJ are taking on each other.
It's funny you should say that. I would agree with that. But also, anytime there is like a new champion, transitional champion, always seems to be AJ Styles is the first person to take him on. He took on Seth Rollins after he won the belt. He took on Roman Reigns after he won the belt. Now he's taking on Cody after he won the belt. It's kind of one of those weird things that how it works out.
Well, I think with AJ's credibility, I think that definitely helps to establish a new champion.
Yeah.
And AJ is in that kind of plug-and-play situation.
Well, also, you think about it, Bullet Club, Civil War. Former Bullet Club members.
Yeah, that could be.
You never know. But like I said, I got to say, I was getting back to the Bloodline 2.0, whatever you want to call it. I love what they're doing. Oh, my God. Like, with the way they're doing with Tama Tonga, crashing the car with Kevin Owens, finding out he crashed his car into Kevin Owens' car, and that's how he got the bloody head. Nick Aldis going, listen, there's consequences for losing, but there's also consequences for your actions. And if you don't get this sorted out, you're going to find out what happens. Oh, so good.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. When you have a creative mind like Paul Heyman and getting with Triple H about this and saying, okay, what else can we do? I mean, you think about on a short-term scale, Tama Tonga, if you're a diehard wrestling fan, you know who he is.
Yeah.
You know that obviously him and Bullet Club in Japan have been synonymous for eons.
Yeah.
Bringing him in to the North American audience.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with WWE, who, let's face it, there's a lot of people that just watch the WWE.
Yep, they're not familiar.
Right. Bringing him in, establishing him as this viable threat.
He's a monster.
Instantly. It's winning people over, and it's also establishing him to those fans to know what to expect when we finally see him in a match.
And also taking a storyline that we thought was played out and done with and going to wrap up here by probably the end of the year and going, this has got some more life to it, which is going to be awesome to see.
And rumor is Jacob Fatu could be debuting with him this Friday.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I don't know. I kind of like the idea of Bloodline 2.0 taking on Bloodline 1.0 at Survivor Series.
War Games.
But we'll see. The other thing that happened this week is obviously we know on the pay-per-view after Backlash that is taking place May 25th in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. That is King and Queen of the Ring. We don't know who's scheduled to participate for Queen of the Ring, but we did have a couple of participants on Monday Night Raw announce that they're going to be entering for the King of the Ring tournament. One being which the returning Gunther. That makes sense.
Makes sense.
No surprise there.
Yeah.
But also announcing later in the same show, Xavier Woods, of course, former King of the Ring himself.
Okay.
And also, no surprise here, the one, the only, the number one shitster on Twitter these days, Drew McIntyre.
Well, rightfully so.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that Drew, no matter what you want to believe about his contract status, I mean, he's not going anywhere.
No.
Getting him in a prime location here, I think the only thing that could be very interesting if CM Punk decides to come in and ruin his chances here.
I saw the workout video he posted to a story on Instagram today. He is looking very far along. Now, take this with a grain of salt. I am not a medical doctor. I do not have any sort of medical training past that of first aid. So I am not at any ability to diagnose and ascertain as to where a person is health-wise based off of a 10-second video.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I saw, and considering it was focused on the arm he injured, very specifically, he was facing away, so the camera faced the injured arm. That arm looked real good.
Yeah.
Looked real healthy. So we'll see. I would love it if he comes and he screws him over for a third time.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Well, I think they're just going to build this up to SummerSlam at this point. I mean, money in the bank if Punk is ready to go, but SummerSlam, lock it in.
Could be. Then we have a little bit of unfortunate news to talk about, but of course this comes every year after WrestleMania season, and that is some releases. So the releases we have as of this recording are as follows, and this is in no particular order, just from the order I'm reading off of GameSpot.com. The first of which, Jinder Mahal, Zion Quinn, Xia Li, Sangha, Veer Mahan, Von Wagner, and the latest, Cameron Grimes.
Well, let's go through the list a little bit here.
Okay.
Number one, Jinder Mahal. This one, I think, is a shame that he didn't get a chance to really run with the ball, so to speak.
Yeah.
That I think he's got himself in phenomenal shape.
Yeah.
He can talk.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that they utilized him to the biggest potential they could.
I mean, they used him for all of they needed to when they made their first foray into, you know, India. Mm-hmm. The couple, was that 2017, whatever?
Yep.
But after that, it was kind of really, they never really did anything with him.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of just like, he's there, he's here, he has some matches, he's a solid worker. But there was definitely some missed potential there, I feel like. And you could tell they really didn't have anything when he was just kind of like in a manager role. And there was never any rumors or any kind of hearsay that he was injured or something. So shame for him, but I'm sure he'll make the rounds on the indies and kill it on the indies.
He's one of two people on this list that I think is going to have a huge, huge indie run.
All right. Next up would be Zion Quinn.
I mean, honestly, for being in NXT for quite some time,
yeah,
just never really got over.
Yeah.
I mean, like I say, it was one of the situations that I don't think he had anything really great to work with in NXT, in my opinion.
No.
And I think that it was just kind of like, what are we going to do? And this one makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Albeit, though, I could see him making something up on the indies and really making a run there.
I could see him indies or maybe NWA, TNA.
Yeah.
Somewhere over there. I don't see him going to AEW.
No.
You know,
if we had a guess, I mean, no, I wouldn't say AEW either.
No, I'd say either NWA or just straight indies.
Mm.
Next up is Xia Li.
Well, you know, this one,
a lot of missed opportunity, I feel.
A lot of
potential.
Oh, I do too.
But I don't think they ever really knew what to do.
Right. Well, I think that she had gone through a couple different gimmicks and just none really worked.
No.
And it was one of the situations that if they don't have anything for her right now, it's not to say that I wouldn't see her coming back later.
I could see it.
But it really depends on what she wants to do now.
Yeah.
And I think that that's going to be a situation that we have to kind of like keep an eye on.
Yeah. Next up is Sangha.
Well, Sangha was part of the tag team with Veer,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the Sangha and Veer, the faction with gender.
Yeah, and that one really no surprise. I don't think WWE knew what they were doing with that tag team.
No, I don't. I think they just saw three guys who, you know, could be packaged together. They gave it a shot, but they never really gave it enough jet fuel to work with, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, unfortunate for them, but I think both Sangha and Veer Mahan, you know, will do great on the indies.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I could definitely see them doing some things on the indies as well, too.
Yeah.
Like I say, it's just one of the situations. WWE, I don't think, had anything for really substantial. I mean, the only thing we had from them was the Veer is coming promos
for like 6 months.
Eons.
Oh, my God.
That's it. So.
Yeah. Next up, Von Wagner.
You know, I want to say this was a surprise, but honestly wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And technically, the writing might have been on the wall, and we didn't realize this.
Okay.
Because remember, he was
killed.
Unalived, if you will, on NXT by Bron Breakker with some steel steps.
Yeah.
So, I mean, granted, it's NXT. We say we always judge. We judge everything down there by the fact Tony D'Angelo beat a murder rap because of a wrestling match.
True.
Y-pad?
Reasons.
But still, it happened.
Yeah.
So, this one, I mean, Von Wagner is another guy, too, that I just don't think they had anything really for. I think they were expecting him to really excel, but he's, you know, did not really have a presence on the mic. I know they gave him Robert Stone for a while. It's kind of a weird pairing.
Looking at his profile on ProfileDB.com, his last appearance of any sort, because this site does list in house shows and TV shows, his last appearance with the company was for an NXT TV taping on April 2nd of this year where he lost to Lexus King. So, I mean, the thing is he? I'm always willing to give a guy time and potential. But for me, I might take a little while to warm up to him. Famously, Damian Priest first showed up on NXT, did not give two flying you-know-whats about the guy. I'm like, whatever, he's fine. Doesn't really do anything for me. But then it clicked, and I'm like, now I'm starting to get this, and now I'm starting to buy into this a little. Von, until like he got, quote-unquote, unalived, by Bron Breakker, I really didn't know or care for the guy. And then all of a sudden, I was like, okay, well, this is interesting. And then it kind of just went nowhere.
Well, it's like the same thing when you talk about, with Jinder.
Yeah.
And him managing Veer and the other gentleman there.
Yeah.
It's like, I think WWE had the same kind of idea with him and Robert Stone.
Sure.
And they thought, okay, well, here's some guys we can package together.
Sure.
And it doesn't play out. So, it's just one of the situations there where I think that there was an upside that they saw and just were not getting what they thought out of it. And he'll be an interesting character to see on the indies, what he decides to come back as. Because I could see him still wrestling
Sure.
But as what gimmick, I just don't know.
Sure. And then lastly, and certainly not leastly, Cameron Grimes.
To the moon! Yeah. Oh, this one hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cameron Grimes, I have always thought he does phenomenal work, especially on the indies. When he finally got to NXT and they let him run with the crypto millionaire gimmick,
yeah,
I thought there was a lot of potential to be had there.
Sure.
I had a great feud with LA Knight.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, he fell victim to something we've talked about here on air. There's certain gimmicks you can do in NXT that will win over the crowd there.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, it just doesn't translate to the main roster.
Yeah.
And I think in his case, unfortunately, the gimmick was one of those that it had a shelf life, and just unfortunately, you need to adapt it or it goes away.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we got here.
I mean, the thing is, I liked the guy for his finisher. He had a wicked finisher. I remember there was a match. I can't remember when it took place, but I know he had a match on NXT. Bell rung, came out, hit the dude with the double stomp, 1-2-3 win.
Mm-hmm.
Less than 10 seconds. And I went, I remember eating dinner as I was watching that match, and I looked away to take a drink from my cup of milk. And I'm like, holy shit, like what the hell just happened? I missed the finisher. And I was, and I love the money, crypto, Bitcoin gimmick, because at the time that was prevalent in society and that was going on a lot, you know, with GameStop and AMC and the stocks and all that stuff. But much like that, you know, while some folks still to this day focus on that stuff, it kind of faded out of the public eye and it faded out of, you know, the limelight. Mm. And I think part of the issue is he never adapted from that, because the thing I get with a lot of NXT guys, you got to kind of come up with your own ideas and you got to kind of adapt and develop and pitch some ideas. And just for whatever reason, you know, it never did, because I get everyone talks about the NXT feud with LA Knight, and that's what their fond memories are. Folks, they had the first fight for the $1 million title on June 13th, 2021. That was almost 3 years
ago.
That was almost 3 years ago, which should tell you, you know, he's not really doing much, because he had the two matches with LA Knight. Because the next one was at the Great American Bash on July 6th of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was kind of there over from there. He was on NXT up until August, and then he made his Friday nights, and then he was on Friday Night SmackDown, you know, where he lost a fatal four-way again to Rey Mysterio, also involved were LA Knight and Sheamus. So he had all the potential, I feel like, and had a lot of talent, just for whatever reason, couldn't put the character and the talent together to get the right combination.
Yeah. It's one of those situations where he'll be fine on the indies. Yeah. I could see him going to AEW, but yeah. I'd much rather see him go run crazy on the indies.
I think he'll do indies. I don't think he'll go to AEW.
Yeah, but we'll have to wait and see, though. I'm hoping for everybody, though, that was released, they find work very soon.
Yeah.
And we'll just have to watch where they go.
In 90 days.
Yes, in 90 days. So when everything's up, because WWE, well, they have that whole clause in the contracts.
They do.
It's a good thing to have. Mm-hmm. That being said, hit us up on the hashtag ODPagePod. What is your thoughts about the week that was in wrestling? What stood out to you? If you're looking for more in-depth coverage, I know AEW Dynasty happened. There's multiple shows on Nerd Initiative YouTube by our guy Rich from 3FN Podcast, who also heads up Nerd Initiative Wrestling, new guy Nick, and yours truly. So definitely head on over there. Go check it out. That being said, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This is Tom from Tom Joe Lou.
This is Matt from Sideroom Sounds.
And you're listening to ODPH Podcast.
Wanna go where no one knows my name? To the desert, the oceans, or the plains? Cause I wanna...
Coming back for the final segment on this edition of the ODPH Podcast. Pad, what you got?
Got a couple things to talk about. First of which is obviously the local minute. And looking at the over at the Binghamton Black Bears, of course, they are in the playoffs. They took on the Watertown Wolves in the quarterfinals of the FPHL. That's the Federal Prospects Hockey League playoffs. And they had the Friday, April 19th game on the road in Watertown, where they won by the final score of 4-2. They came back Saturday, April 20th, at home, and won the game by the final score of 7-2. So if my math is correct, in a best-of-three series, they won two games out of three. They won that series. So they move on to the semifinals matchup of the FPHL, which, again, is a best-of-three series. They will be taking on Motor City. On the other side of the bracket, though, because potentially they win this series, they're into the finals for and win the Commissioner's Cup. They, in the semifinals, you have got Columbus taking on Carolina. Columbus won their series 2-1. Carolina got taken to game three. Well, they won that one 2-1. So it's Binghamton taking on Motor City, Columbus taking on Carolina. So if we're looking ahead to this games for this week, again, best of three. Game one is on Friday, April 26th, 7:35 p.m. Eastern. That'll be in away at Motor City. Saturday, April 27th, 7 o'clock Eastern. That'll be at home in the Visions Veterans Memorial Arena here in Binghamton against Motor City. And then game three, if necessary, will be Sunday, April 28th, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern here in Binghamton. So for more tickets, information, all that good stuff, BinghamtonBlackBears.com.
Let's ride.
Then we got to talk some Binghamton Rumble Ponies because the season is in its early swings here in the Northeast and all over the country for baseball. Looking at the standings, Binghamton still not doing so hot, but they're still, hey, it's still early. They are 6-8. They are in second to last place, but they've got Somerset, who are the Yankees affiliates, New Hampshire, who are the Toronto affiliates, Hartford, the Colorado affiliates, and Portland, the Boston affiliates, ahead of them. They're ahead of Philly, though. That's all that really matters. Looking at their schedule from this past week, they had a home series against the Reading Fightin' Phils. They had the game on Tuesday, April 16th, where they won that game a final score of 3-2. Game on Wednesday was postponed due to inclement weather. Tell me about it. That game was made up as part of a doubleheader on Thursday, April 18th. They won the first game by the final score of 4-3. Lost the second game, though, by the final score of 7-4. Came back on Friday and lost by the final score of 8-2. Came back Saturday, though, pulled out the victory, won by the final score of 6-3. Heartbreaker on Sunday, though, lost by the final score of 5-4. Looking ahead to this upcoming week, they're on the road playing New Hampshire. They are playing Tuesday, April 23rd, 6:35 p.m. Eastern. Wednesday at 6:35 p.m. Eastern. Thursday, the 25th at 6:35 p.m. Eastern. Friday, the 26th at 6:35 p.m. Eastern. Saturday, they're playing at 4:05.
I was gonna say it can't be 6:35.
It's not 6:35. No, it's 4:05. And then Sunday, April 28th is the final game of the series.
Gotta be early.
It's 1:35 p.m. Eastern. Yep. Then they return home. They're back home starting April 30th for a series against Hartford
at 6:35.
6:05.
Okay.
For more tickets, information, all that good stuff, bingrp.com. Then we gotta talk a little women's basketball.
Okay.
Because the WNBA draft took place this past week.
Right, right.
Surprise to absolutely no one, and congratulations to everyone who got taken in the end.
Absolutely. WNBA draft was cool.
Yeah. Caitlin Clark went number one overall to the Indiana Fever. Already breaking records because it's been reported widely that in terms of the most popular NBA WNBA jerseys, Sabrina Clark is number one overall. But then also come to the report, she's outsold the entire Dallas Cowboys football team for the entire year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's just absolutely nuts that she's outselling the Dallas Cowboys. So, hey, shout out Cowboys fans. But then we got to talk a little more Caitlin Clark because she just continues to set absolutely bonkers records. According to reports, she is going to be signing an 8-year, $28 million contract with Nike that includes a signature shoe.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so an article on ESPN.com says, quote, "The Wall Street Journal and The Athletic reported the pending deal, citing unnamed people familiar with the negotiations between the sportswear giant and Clark's agent. Excel Sports Management, which represents Clark and Nike, did not immediately respond to requests for comments from the Associated Press. Clark's name, image, and likeness deal signed in 2022 expired at the end of the 2023-24 college season. The new deal would be the richest sponsorship contract for a women's basketball player. Under Armour and Adidas also participated in contract discussions with Clark's team in February, according to the Wall Street Journal and The Athletic. Puma also showed some interest, but walked away when told that the bidding would start at $3 million per year, according to the Wall Street Journal. Close quote. So shout out to her. That is nuts.
That's insane.
And also a signature shoe. Gotta love that.
No, definitely a cool moment, too. I actually was watching the WNBA draft.
Yeah. And then I've got to talk a little bit about the Indiana Fever and the Caitlin Clark effect, because the numbers with this are just astounding, because the season ain't even started yet. And teams are having to move venues that they're playing in due to the demand for tickets. So this is reading from an article on IndyStar.com. It is one of the local newspapers up in Indianapolis. And the article is written by Chloe Peterson. Shout out to Chloe. Article reads, quote, Caitlin Clark always draws a crowd home or away, and sometimes it's more than opponents' arenas can handle. The Washington Mystics announced Thursday that due to unprecedented demand for its contest against the Indiana Fever on June 7th, they're moving the game from Entertainment and Sports Arena to Capital One Arena. Entertainment and Sports Arena, the Mystics' normal home venue, has a capacity of 4,200 people. Capital One's arena capacity is nearly four times that, holding 20,356 fans. Tickets will go on sale to fans on April 23rd. This is the second time so far this season that an opposing team has moved its game against the Fever to a bigger venue. The Las Vegas Aces announced on April 5th that they are moving their July 2nd game against the Fever from Michelob Ultra Arena, which has a capacity of 12,000 people, to the T-Mobile Arena, which has a capacity of 18,000. Gainbridge Fieldhouse, the Fever's home arena, has a capacity of just over 17,000. The Fever held a special presale for Indiana's 20 home games last week, and single game tickets are on sale now, close quote. So just the numbers alone that, like, I know one of the knocks with WNBA is, you know, there's not a whole lot of people. That looks to be changing real damn quick, and deservedly so, because that's awesome.
It's an amazing moment, too. Like I say, the WNBA draft numbers, I actually watched the event, too.
Was it like 13 million people watching it?
It was 13 million people watching.
Yeah.
And one of the cool moments, too, that happened is Caitlin obviously was taken number one overall.
Yep.
But her teammate went to support her by the name of Kate Martin.
Okay.
And was a surprise pick in the second round.
Oh, good for her.
So there's a very cool moment that, yeah, she was just saying, like, she was just there to support Caitlin.
Right.
And all of a sudden, like, yeah, she's wound up getting picked second round by the Las Vegas Aces.
Nice.
So very cool moment, too. I'm very interested to see, you know, like, how this is all going to play out, because I know Angel Reese was her rival in college from LSU. She's now with Chicago.
Yep.
And like I say, they're doing a lot of interesting things with WNBA, so definitely have to keep an eye on that as we go forward.
In case you want to watch, WNBA season does start on May 14th.
Yes.
Tuesday.
All right, definitely have to keep an eye out for that.
Yeah.
Last but certainly not least, we are in playoff hockey season.
Yeah, we are.
And the only series anybody needs to know about is those New York Rangers won decisively over the Washington Capitals in Game 1, 4-1. Oh, man, Jimmy Vesey and Panarin looked great. And, of course, Matt Rempe just coming out of out of nowhere, lighting them up.
Yeah.
Like I say, they were looking really good, jumped out to a 3-goal lead in the second period, and really never looked back. But the fourth one was just kind of a little, you know, cherry on the sundae. Playing tonight against Washington as we record, so Blue Shirt Nation, stand the puck up. It's all about the cup.
Hey, and shout out to Toronto for making a comeback after getting hosed the first game.
Yeah, we'll give you...
Fucking 5-1. Lost first game, bounce back one game, too. I'll give you kudos on that one.
We'll give you some flowers on that one, but, I mean, obviously.
To those of you who bet the Leafs to sweep in four, the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah. I mean, it's hockey.
You exist. There's video.
Yes, this is true. We have seen those videos, folks.
You don't think we'll see you, but we do.
We did.
You're not John Cena.
Yes. Dun, 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 dun. For anything and everything that is the ODPH, you can find it at odphpodcast.com. That's it for this week in sports. So for the one and only, Padawan J.
Just want to point out, the Houston Astros are in last place, to which I say, fuck them.
I'm right there with you. My name is Kenneth. Thank you as always for listening to the ODPH podcast. We'll see you next time.
Such waste of time, swiping left and swiping right on people you could know. 'Cause anyone who's worth a damn be worth way more than a picture could ever show.
could find the right light, find the right angle, and never find your soul. And it can feel like a losing battle, and this plot is full of holes. This modern way of finding love just makes me feel so alone. And I can't be the only one sick of staring at my phone. So look up, talk to me. A better way to spend our energy. Just look up, talk to me. Time fable, everyone has just one true love. All I know is you're across this table, and you're all I'm thinking of. So look up, talk to me. A better way to spend our energy. Just look up, talk to me. Swiping left and swiping right on people you could know.